Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Robizer, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, who is none other than Terrence Chapman. From soda bottle recycling entrepreneur at the age of six, a senior executive leader responsible for billions of dollars for the Coca-Cola Company, Terrence Chapman has served in senior executive leadership roles with Johnson & Johnson, Citibank, and Coca-Cola. He now serves as president and CEO of Fellowship of Companies for Christ International, a fellowship of executive leaders in 139 countries. He has recently published a new book entitled Do Your Children Believe? Terrence Chapman, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show, sir. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, Robbie. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, sir. Me too. And glad you were able to take time out of your schedule to be with us. And want to kind of get familiar with you a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about, what you're doing right now vocationally to feed your family and kind of how God led you to this point in your career.
Well, that's a great question. You know, I have a couple of things that I'm wearing some dual hats right now. One, what pays the bill is I'm the president and CEO for FCCI, the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. We are an organization that's been around about 38 years. We work with Christian CEOs and executive leaders and entrepreneurs. And we're working with them and equipping them and encouraging them to lead their company by integrating biblical principles into their life and business. And as a result of that, their life has changed, their company has changed, their community should be impacted. And the nation should even be impacted by some of the things that we're doing as a result of leading our companies this way. And as CEO and president, my job obviously is to direct, lead, and guide this process. We're in about 139 countries around the world, as you mentioned. And so I get a chance to work with Christian CEOs like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A and so many others in 139 countries like that. And so that's part of what I do. And then just founded Do Your Children Believe, which to help parents raise their kids in the Lord. And that's been keeping me quite busy as well.
No doubt about that. And, you know, how did you get kind of called into FCCI, and how did you get called into Do Your Children Believe? How did the Lord kind of bring you to that point? And kind of give us a little bit of feel for your background in those other companies that you worked in.
Yeah, in fact, that's a great word to use, is called. I never had a thought or imagination I would join a nonprofit like an FCCI. I thought I would, you know, coming in from the corporate world and then owning my own business for a period of time, I had never thought I would go into a nonprofit situation. But here it is. The Lord called me into an FCCI. The way it happened, actually, my predecessor, my prayer buddy, was praying about his transition. And as he would begin to talk about his transition, and he asked me to pray through what that might look like for me to join FCCI. And I said, like, who's FCCI? I can't even spell FCCI. I've never heard of FCCI.
That's right.
How do you move from, the companies I've been operating in with an FCCI? But the more and more I learned about FCCI, and what attracted me is FCCI is about discipleship. Of the life-on-life discipleship, where peer-on-peer, CEO, CEO, entrepreneur, entrepreneur, they're doing life together. They're walking with one another. And I'm my life is a product. I'm a product of discipleship and discipleship training. And so I thought, you know, Lord, if you would call me into such a leading role where I could help and invest in CEOs and executive leaders to have an impact, not only on business, but in the whole platform of business has a major impact on society. And so, you know, I have experience in this world. Now I can bring this discipleship element to it. And it just seemed like a perfect next step for me. So I moved in and been a part of FCCI for 6 years. We've grown from 7 countries to 139 countries in that period of time. Really have moved. The Lord has opened up doors for us. And we're seeing major transformation take place through the marketplace as a result of organizations like FCCI.
That's amazing. And let me make sure I heard that right. You said that you've grown from 7 countries to 139 countries in just the 6 years you've been there. Did I hear that right?
Well, the Lord's been generous in spite of us.
I hear you, brother. I'm the same way. Whatever success we have in life is in spite of us. It's the Lord working through us. No doubt about that. But I'm curious. Normally, I save this question until a little bit later on, but my interest has been piqued. What would you say... what did y'all do to go from 7 countries to 139 countries in just 6 years? What was this? Obviously the Lord worked through you, but there was stuff he had you do. So what did you actually do to get there?
Yeah. You know, it's, one of the things I talk to leaders all the time and we talk about, you know, who's doing it? Well, we know it's the Lord. We know he's in control. We know that he's working in us and through us. You know, we are vessels for his works of service. And that's why he talks about us. It's, you know, we're his servant leaders. We're his workmanship that he's working in us and through us for his glory. In this case, some of the practical things is technology. We leverage technology for our friend. And my belief is you have to earn the right to be heard. You have to first invest in people's life and earn trust and earn respect and earn what I call value, become valuable to people. And we did that initially through technology. We probably have one of the largest libraries of Christian business resources in the world. And so we began to make that available to business leaders really worldwide. This internet thing can be a friend of yours if you use it properly. And so as we began to communicate and provide free resources to business leaders around the world, they began to connect with FCCI. To give you an idea, our regular connection on a monthly basis in terms of visitors to our site was roughly around 2,500 or so. Now that number is well into 18, 20,000 of new users each month. And it's just been incredible as people come in from Africa and Asia, Latin America and Europe and so forth. Even in the Middle East, FCCI is established in places like Iran and Iraq and places that we would never be able to physically go to and launch, but yet we can launch through the internet. And so technology has played a major role in that. But more importantly, we found a way to invest in people and earn that favor by offering value before we speak into their life. And as a result, they've come on to FCCI and supported us in a strong way. And they see us as a movement to connect to for transformation in their life and their business and their community and their nation.
Is that value pretty much centered around the educational materials you're providing to people, or does it take some other form?
It's some other form. We start there as the first touch in many of cases. But more importantly, we lead them through discipleship process. Our kingdom leader, kingdom company model, which is our discipleship model, is one of the best in the world. It's been around for 38 years. We've been training leaders how to invest in other leaders and do that in a way that's very transformational. So that's the heartbeat of FCCI. And then we have an annual conference, and our conference is an international business leaders conference. In fact, it's coming up in September 17th to the 21st, where we'll bring in Christian business owners from all around the world and really talk about strategically how can we be much more effective as a Christian business CEO and president even to have an impact on their company, the culture of the company. What does it mean to integrate biblical principles? So we're not a Bible study. We're actually a business leadership group. We deal with business issues and real business challenges. But the difference is we don't think about what the next book has to say about it. We think about what 66 books have to say about it. And we look at these biblical principles, which we found over 3,200 biblical principles that apply to the workplace. And now we teach those biblical principles and help people to use those principles to operate and lead their company in a way that glorifies Him with a greater purpose.
That's good. That's good. And real briefly, tell us about your book and also tell us a little bit about your family that I'm sure helps spurn or spawn the desire to write your book.
Well, I'm so excited. I'm married 34, going on 35 years, same woman. So that's good news.
Absolutely.
Three kids, all married, all out of the house. In fact, the baby just was married in February, and two here in Atlanta, one of them in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They all know the Lord, praise that. And what's so exciting about that is we're still doing our biweekly devotional studies via five cell phones and a conference line, even to this day. In fact, we had one yesterday. It was just so rich. We talked about Christ's resurrection and what that means to our faith. So we're able to get online and talk about it. And this book is really addressing that issue, preparing parents and equipping parents with a step-by-step process and raising their kids in the Lord. We've been doing this for about 10 years. We've trained thousands and thousands of churches and parents and giving them a plan, a process to really move forward in a plan to raise their kids in the Lord based on Ephesians 6:4. He says, train and instruct them, and that's what we're doing, to teach them who He is. You know, we don't have the power of conversion, but we do have the power and authority and the privilege and the honor to teach our children who He is and what He's done on that cross and what it means for us for eternity. And so this legacy that we're encouraging parents to leave is not only this lifetime, but it's this lifetime and beyond. And my book, Do Your Children Believe, helps parents with this process and developing this legacy and this process to raise their kids.
Amen. Amen to that. What would you consider, Terrence, to be your biggest career failure, or if you don't like the word failure, maybe your biggest career challenge?
You know, I look at this, and whenever I think about challenges in business or my career, you know, I've had a very blessed career, and I'm thankful for that. And the movements that I've had taken place has just been, you know, phenomenal, and the opportunities I've had. You know, when I look at challenges, it's always centered around people. And my desire is to invest in people. In fact, I grew up with the thought that everyone in an organization, everyone in life has intrinsic value. They all have value. The idea is to find out what that value is, that giftedness is, and bring it out of them to optimize it. And so there's some that I wish I would have invested in more. There's certainly some I wish I would have been able to move through their career pathway in a successful way. And there's some that I have. One that I'm most proud of in my career is several of the people that I led are now running and leading companies. And that really is my great one that I'm just so excited about. But then there's some that, you know, I just couldn't help, or I just couldn't find a way to find that right way to move them forward and have success. And so I wish everyone under me and working with me would have reached that type of pinnacle where they can succeed. In some cases, they may have needed to leave the organization in order to succeed. But I think the greatest one for me today is, although FCCI is in 139 countries and we're growing quite extensively, the idea is how many lives are being changed and impacted, and are they making a difference in their community? So I always wish I could move a little bit faster, invest a little bit more, have a little bit more impact in people's lives as people follow you and give direction, and that they would be motivated enough to take on that same mantra and invest in other people's life and see the necessity of that type of purpose versus just a temporal purpose in life. And so I just pray for that. I pray for people to really understand they have a greater purpose in life than just, you know, making money or shareholder value or position. And sometimes, you know, I felt that at really helping folks through that process. But I rely on the Holy Spirit to pick up where I fall short, which is which is everywhere. So I'm encouraged that we do have an advocate on our behalf.
Absolutely. Well, as you reflect back on instances where things didn't go as you'd hoped in terms of coaching someone along towards that path that you thought that you'd hoped to help them down, what's the biggest lesson you've learned from that challenge or that failure that you can share with the audience here?
Yeah, you know, not everyone is wired or even designed to be a leader. They're designed to be a leader within their respective level of influence, if you will. But I thrive on folks who want to lead and make change and transform. And so I would just encourage everyone that everyone has intrinsic value. They may not lead an organization. They may be leading though, at the level that they've been called to lead at, and that's okay. For me, I like to surround myself around leaders, and I'm encouraged by leaders and I want to make impact. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to make a difference in their career. And I want to look at an FCCI, an organization that I lead, to have an impact and make a difference. And I want to do it with excellence. And so one of the things I would advise is don't settle for mediocrity. Even though your organization may not be prepared for excellence at this time in its cultural phase, never settle for mediocrity. Always strive for excellence and ask the Lord to bring you those people that have that same focus and that same mentality and that same desire for excellence and not average. And so that's my desire, is that we strive for excellence, never settle for mediocrity, and encourage those who don't fit that mode, that maybe there's another culture that fits them. But never settle.
Never settle for mediocrity, always strive for excellence. A great way to end up segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work." Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, The Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Looking for a reason to roam through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Terrence Chapman. Terrence, we wrapped up the previous segment by asking you a question about your biggest career failure or biggest career challenge. Let me kind of address now the other side of that coin. What would you say has been your single biggest career success, and what made that so successful?
Yeah, I've looked at my career, and it's an interesting one. I started in 82. Joined a company called McNeil Consumer Products Company, and it's a Johnson & Johnson company. And 3 months into the job, a week before training, one of the most horrific crises happened in America. It's called the Tylenol incident, where 5 people died as a result of taking cyanide-tainted capsules of Tylenol. That was my territory, Chicago, Illinois. And I watched and witnessed one of the greatest leaders, Dr. James Burke, lead and guide and maneuver the organization through that process. And so that was a crisis that needed to be managed. Well, fast forward in the 80s, coming off of one of the greatest financial crises that this country has ever seen, it'll make 2008 look like a child's play. I joined Citibank in 1990, coming off of one of the greatest financial crises, but yet the Lord gave me an opportunity to lead an organization through that process and transform Citibank in Florida. Then, Lord and behold, the Lord took me to Coca-Cola. And mind you, I was planning on retiring as J&J, never really interested in moving. In fact, my desire was to work through 40 and retire and live off my stock options for the rest of my life. But, you know, it's a shallow goal, but it was mine. But then in the 1995 or so, 5 years later, I was recruited to Coca-Cola, coming off of one of the most horrific challenges Coca-Cola had, called New Coke.
And yeah, so here I remember is. That. Yeah.
My first 3 jobs, you know, over my 15-year so span, I'm dealing with crises. Interesting enough, I come into an FCCI, another crisis situation. So I've been kind of dubbed this crisis leader, manager, this change agent. And, you know, I love crises. The more an organization's in crises, the more I love it. I'm a turnaround guy. I'm able to go in, assess situations very quickly, understand its people very quickly, understand their giftedness, and being able to maneuver and leverage resources, human resources, and financial resources. And I'm a visionary in nature, but I'm an obduct because I can also develop strategy and execute. Typically, you don't get all of that together. So my greatest success is being able to manage through crisis situation, really identify the right people for the right roles, which is key and core, I believe, to any type of success in business, and motivate them in such a way by directing them with a very clear vision, a very clear mission, and execution plan. And we executed to excellence, as I talked about earlier. So that's one area that I believe I've been successful in over my career, and one that has led me and guided me from day one is through these kind of crisis management situations.
Very good, very good. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did God clear the smoke for you?
You know, what a timely question. In fact, today is my last day with FCCI, the Fellowship of Company for Christ International. And I thought I'd be here for another 5-6 years, but yet a recruiter came, we've talked, and I'll be joining the John Maxwell Organization, heading up Equip and a new foundation called the John Maxwell Foundation. And I tell you, as you go through these processes and you pray about these decisions and you say, Lord, where are you taking me? Where are you leading and guiding me? You're looking for His direction. You're looking for His leading. In fact, as I mentioned before, I would have never made the first move if it was my direction and my leading and guiding. But what I've been called to now is to see worldwide transformation through the marketplace and through leadership development. And so I'm encouraged by that. My passion is to see nations transform, nations change. And let me tell you a quick story as to what drives me and what's been driving me. It's never been a job. It's never been a career. It's never been a position or even power. What has driven me from day one is I grew up in the 60s, 70s. And it wasn't a great time for racial relations in America. In fact, we can even say that today, but it was even a greater issue at that time. And my father grew up with a company he worked for that same company for 45 years. And he led actually the union, which some will say, think different things and different thoughts about a union. But he was a union chief, a president for 45 years, and he never had a strike on his watch, not once, for one of the largest aluminum companies in the world. And I asked him as he was getting older, I said, Dad, what is one of your greatest accomplishments? And he says, Terrence, I never had a strike on my watch. He says, I want you to remember that everyone has intrinsic value, and your job as a leader is to invest in them and to shape the culture of that organization. He says, but in order to do that, you need to be in a position of authority. You need to be able to sign the front of the check, not just the back of the check. He says, if you're going to make the right decisions, hire the right people, train them and develop them and give them the responsibility and invest in them, you could make a difference in the organization. He says, not only that, through the marketplace, you can make a difference in this nation. And the reason that's so, his belief, is because business impacts nations. People listen to business owners. Money talks is what was the old saying, money talks. And it has just with it inherently influence and impact. And so therefore, that is what led me and drove me in my entire career, was to go in and shape cultures of organizations so that you could have global impact through the marketplace. And that's what's been leading my career from day one. Never a position, never a title, but it was to have impact in the culture of a nation to make a difference through people. And that's what drives me today.
That's good. That's good stuff. Have you ever had a challenge to your faith in the workplace as you've tried to impact others for Christ? And if so, please describe it and how you reacted to it.
You know, when you're in the corporate side, such as, some of the top 50 companies and things of that nature, you have to gauge when to show your faith, when not to show your faith and things of that nature. But I just believe that you are Christian and your core values is what make you, is who you are, more so than what you do. And so corporate America, they want integrity. They want character. They're looking for all the things that make up what we would consider a Christian. And so they value those things. They may not refer to them the same way. We manage by core values at the end of the day. And so what makes us is our core value that we have been called by Him, redeemed by Him, and we live a life that is striving to become more and more like Jesus Christ in everything we do. And so when I look back at John, Dr. James Burke, who led Johnson & Johnson and McNeil through that crisis, I never knew he was a Christian. He never told us he was a Christian. But what he did, he modeled his Christ-like behavior. He modeled it in a way, for example, as we were talking about a recovery plan, and it was going to cost us somewhere around $150 million to recover, a person asked a question. They said, Dr. James Byrd, how much are we willing to spend on this recovery program? Right now, we're estimating about $150 million. Is there a cap? Is there a limit? And he looked at the person. He says, listen, never again ask me a question about money when we're dealing with the souls of men and women. He says, they're priceless. He says, what we're going to do is we're going to retool, we're going to re-equip, and we're going to move out in a way. We're going to set the standards for the world in terms of safety seal packaging. And that moment, Johnson & Johnson changed America and packaging forever. And now we have safety seal packaging ever. Here's a man with character and values that drove every decision he made. And what a great model it was for me and my corporate walk. And so I've learned over the years, you know, be yourself. You know, you are who you are. You are who you're called to be. You don't have to beat people over the head with a Bible and say, hey, look at my Christian values. It's more important that they catch it more so than you teach it. And they catch it by you modeling it.
Absolutely. And as you model it, inevitably, it will generate conversations or questions where you'll then have the opportunity to share Christ in whatever way is most appropriate at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of times they'll say, you know, you're different. What's different about you? And, you know, here are two or three things that I'm practicing. But then that's that fourth thing that you may not be interested in. And so I won't share that with you. And they say, well, what's that fourth thing? And, well, yeah, you wouldn't be interested in that. I think I'll leave it off the table. I don't think you'd be. And then they follow you around, you know, trying to look for the fourth thing. You know, tell me about the fourth thing. And I just said, well, you know, I tell them about my faith, right? And all of a sudden, they realize that there's something different about this guy, and now you have an opportunity to witness. Because I believe, you know, you wait for that individual to say, hey, you know, share more with me. But you can't. I always say, invest in them first, show that value, earn that value position first, and then share your relationship with Christ. They'll be much more open to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. When you've earned their respect, that's when they'll listen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Terrence, what would you say is the number one personal habit you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
It's just get to know your people. Really get to know people, what motivates them, what drives them, what's going on in their life. You know, a lot of times people are impacted by things at home or maybe at work or in their marriage or what have you, and get to know them. Get to know them in a deep way. And for me, that's not normal. I grew up, hey, you know, just take care of business and get the numbers and move on. And so I have to work at it probably a little bit more than others. But I've learned more that you get to know people in their life and how to, you know, that value earn that, you know, invest in them and add value to their life. Boy, they'll open up and they'll begin to give it all to you. They'll work extra hard for you. They'll commit to you. You know, in this transition with FCCI, I've received over 3,000, whether emails, phone calls, voicemails, et cetera, just saying, man, you're a friend, right? You're never going to leave us, but you're leaving the organization. And we just want to be a part of your life. We want to be a part of you. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't deserve that. You know, there's people that's telling me things that I've invested in them. I had no idea that that's what the case was. And so I would just encourage you to don't look at folks as a bottom line. Don't look at them as the fastest way to get to profitability. Look at them as having intrinsic value. Learn them, teach them, equip them, encourage them, but love on them and invest in them because you truly value them. Not because you truly want to be using them for some value, but because you truly value them.
Yeah, that's good. Now, in case it's different, do you have a number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success? If it's different, if not, that's cool too.
No, I say I'm a, you know, I do a lot of reading. I like to go through Proverbs and and read Proverbs every day. And but you're talking about some great business wisdom. There it is. It's some of the best that I've seen. So I go through Proverbs, but I also like to read. I like to read all types of books. I'm reading strategy books, and I love those type of books. That's just walking me through all different types of strategy. I'm fascinated with vision and strategy and success stories. And so I do a lot of reading as well. And that's one that I would encourage leaders to do. Read as much as you can, and there's just wonderful takeaways, and it triggers your thought process. So reading is a habit that I do along with my proverb reading every day and staying in God's Word.
Well, along with Do Your Children Believe, what one book would you recommend that people do read? Obviously, the Bible is number one. Should be number one on every Christian's list of the books we should devour regularly. But outside of the Bible and outside of your book, what would be a book you'd recommend?
Well, I love The Traction. I just finished The Traction, or Traction it's called. And it is a wonderful book on corporate strategy and just walks you through some amazing processes. And I'm also a big reader of Deasy's. There's an author out there, Deasy's, and he has a methodology on corporate structure and strategy and phases of an organization. So I love his stuff, so that's been very helpful to me. But that Traction book is one I just finished. It's a magnificent book that I would recommend quite highly.
Gotcha. What about a productivity tool? Do you have a productivity tool that you use that makes you more efficient and effective in the workplace?
Yeah, this one of the things that came out of Traction is some high productivity tools, everything from staff development to economic development of the organization. It's really powerful. One that I find very, very useful is called a one-hour power session, and how to conduct what they call power meetings. And it's just been powerful. But one that I also learned is Coca-Cola, it's through Hyman Miller, I believe, is we call it the blue sheet process. And within 45 minutes, we were able to develop billion-dollar strategies, execution plans within 45 minutes, fully funded, fully staffed, fully operational in 45 minutes. Can you imagine an organization coming up with billion-dollar strategic plans, totally executable in 45 minutes? It's unheard of. But we learned how to do that, and we learned how to get the right people around the table who are decision makers. In fact, we say if you can't come but you send someone else, they better have the decision-making process because whoever you send to the meeting, you've basically have given authority, you've delegated authority to that individual to make a decision for your department. And so at the end of our conversations, we're making billion-dollar decisions and ready for execution and staffing and so forth. So those are some that has really helped me in my career in developing strategic tools and processes.
I just envisioned a new book for you to write entitled The 45-Minute Strategic Plan. And I think I think you've got a book right there, man. You can write.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting times. And, if to the degree that, our strategy can stay focused and we have the right people executing against them, you can increase your productivity. You know, I look at situation like here in FCCI, I mean, technically we don't look at it this way, but if we look at it from a business standpoint, we've had 35% return on investment year over year, which is unheard of for a nonprofit. And now we're very strong financially, debt-free and in a good situation. Citibank, we went from about $160 million loss to a $1.6 billion gain in 18 months utilizing these strategies. And so I've been able to utilize these strategies in multiple companies, multiple situations, multiple phases of organizations, and they're effective and tried and true regardless of the organization.
That's great. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
Yeah, make sure they have a good plan. Make sure their business plan is well thought out, well researched. They really have a good plan to get them out of the gate. Hire the right people for the right job. So list out those roles and responsibilities and hire the right people. The people, that's the core, that's the cornerstone, if you will, to everything when it comes to that operation, the right people. And then put processes and procedures into place to optimize a return on investment. And measure, I always call it inspect what you expect. If you're expecting it, you better inspect it and have the right people. If there is no who, there is no task. Okay, it's just a wish list. So I want to have the right vision and mission and strategic plan. I want to make sure the right people are placed in executing and invest in them heavily. And finally, make sure you inspect what you expect from that individual and from an organization.
Great advice. Great advice. Now, one more piece of advice for a different category of person. Let's say that you were sitting in a room of high school seniors. What would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
You know, look at what you've done. I believe many of us, we don't quite understand what we're wired to do. We're trying to search for that and stuff. But let me tell you, I believe that you have actually been designed for the work that you have to do from the very beginning. And many will argue with that. But if you look back, just look back on your life. What have you been doing in life? What did you get excited about most in life? You know, I started, you know, when I was 6 years old. I started, you know, because of the love of candy. I was coming home from church with my mom and I wanted some candy. And she said, hey, I'll buy some, but you have to, you know, you have to pay for it. I'm like, I don't have any money. I mean, you don't give me an allowance or anything. And the amount of allowance you do give me, if I recall one, isn't enough to buy this candy bar right now. And so I looked and I realized that people were returning bottles, pop, we call them pop bottles in Chicago, and they were getting 5 or 10 cents for them. I said, wait a minute, we're throwing those out today. Why don't we save those and created a recycling business, right? Before I even knew what recycling was. And all of a sudden we were saving bottles. And I said, well, my neighbor's probably doing the same. They go ask them. And so all of a sudden I started collecting bottles and I had so many bottles. I was just rolling in candy, my friend. And then my father comes and said, you know, 10% has to go toward savings. My mom said, hey, 10% has to go toward tithing. I'm like, what the heck is a tithe? You know, that's that quarter I normally drop in the basket. Yeah, 10% has to go. And so all of a sudden I'm tithing and I still got 80%. It's pretty good. Well, what happened? I expand my operations and my friends want to cash in. They saw my pockets overflowing with candy, right? Big returns. And so they wanted a piece of the action. So I sold them some territory, a piece of my territories, and charged them 10% that I was paying out on the other side. And so now I had a franchise recycling business. So look at the things you've been doing all your life. And Lord and behold, he would take me to the largest beverage company in the world called Coca-Cola.
You know, that's poetic right there, man.
Yeah. So I just say, you know, how has the Lord wired you? What have you been doing all your life? What do you enjoy the most? You know, I'm a competitive individual. I was a pitcher when I was growing up. You know, I was undefeated all the way through high school, you know. And, you know, I think I still might hold a record 18-0 for pitcher of the year and so forth. And, you know, so I'm competitive. I know I'm competitive. But yet I'm competitive in a different way now because I have a higher calling. And so just look at how have you been wired? What have you been doing? What do you enjoy most in life? And is there something that's driving you like my father challenged us, that this world could be different if we think about it differently, if we operate it differently? And so that challenged me to go on in corporate America to try to make a difference in corporate America. So that would be my encouragement to young folks.
I just want to know if your parents made you pay for your own dental bills as you went and got all these cavities filled.
You know what? Believe it or not, I didn't have any cavities, man.
Perfect.
You know, I was a connoisseur of candy eating, my friend.
And you kept a tube of toothpaste and a toothbrush handy quite often, I'm sure,
so you
can get that sugar off.
That's right.
Well, Terrence, I've had a blessed time in our conversation today, and I'm sure many people have benefited from hearing your story and your testimony as I have. So what would you say is the best way that people can connect with you should they want to follow up with you with some questions?
Yeah, a couple of things. They can get the book at doyourchildrenbelieve.com, doyourchildrenbelieve.com. And they can reach me at Terrence, T-E-R-E-N-C-E, .D-Y-C-B, for Do Your Children Believe, @gmail.com.
Great. And as always, we will link to both the website and to Terrence's email address at careercallings.net on the webpage that goes with today's interview. Terrence Chapman, thanks so much for joining us on today's edition of Career Callings.
Thank you, brother. Continue to be a blessing to many, and I appreciate it.
You too, man. You have a great day. And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And if you have been blessed by my conversation with Terrence Chapman, as I have been, please go over to careercallings.net and search for Terrence in the search box, and it'll take you right to this page. That's T-E-R-E-N-C-E. And I'll take you right to this page where you can get a copy of today's program. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.